This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, so Baruch Hashem, we are back. Rav Asher is here. That's a very, very big simcha. Yosef is here. It's a very, very big simcha. What's your name?
Moshe Kahn.
Moshe Kahn is here. Everyone's here. Everyone that's here, it's a very, very big simcha. Fall and Mardechai and Moshe. And Moshe's life is in the country someplace. He realized at 9:20 that it was Wednesday. I told him I didn't chop before 9:25, so he was 5 minutes ahead of me. Okay, Baruch Hashem, thank you everybody for being here. So this time period between Shavuos and the summer, I don't know. To me, it's like unsettling. It's like on the edge of a cliff. I have like an identity crisis. It's like the year is over, but it's not. How do we measure this? You know what I mean? So someone put it very well. He said to me that he had he's on a diet, and he said, what's going to be with the cheesecake? What's going to be with the cheesecake? So I told you this already, right? So 1 year, he went and had a small sliver of turkey. I can't eat cheese. So the next year, he said, if it worked so good, he's going to do even a bigger hitter. He had like 6 hero sandwiches. The doctor told me it would have been better off with the cheesecake. Are we okay, Hilly? Okay. So he told me that it says, you know, L'dibre Torah L'kenegad Yetzer Hara. You have to give a little bit to the person. So he told me his nutritionist said, I'm not going to tell you not to eat cheesecake. The whole family is going to sit down on the first day of Shavuos. And you're not going to have anything. I can't tell you to do that. So he said, you could take a 16-inch plate. Whatever cheesecake goes in the plate, it shouldn't hang over the sides. His mistake was, he told me, he didn't tell me how high I could go. 16-inch plate. Wee, till the ceiling, right? It's like, you know, someone says, how do you say video in Yiddish? You know how you say video in Yiddish? Slideshow. Because you're allowed to show a slideshow, not a video. So somehow, if you call it a slideshow, it's okay. It's a slideshow that they move around a little bit. It's a slideshow. So you can manipulate numbers. You can't manipulate reality. That's the difference between numbers and reality. Numbers, you can say, yeah, I satisfied your criteria, 16-inch plate, 10 feet high. So what happens after Shavuos? I'm never quite sure what it is. Never quite sure how to touch it up. We've reached Kabbalah Satira. The summer is coming around. Ben Amtsarim is on the horizon. It's not a good year. It's not a good time historically for Klal Yisrael, Sivan. A lot of the things we say kin is for happen during this time of the year. It's like, how do you put yourself? Where exactly do you place yourself? So I want you to help me with this, okay? And I want to ask you if these two stories that I'm going to tell you now are a contradiction. Here comes story number one. Story number one, we have the town of Lusk in Poland. The town of Lusk was not the biggest town in the world. As a matter of fact, when you brought the horse in, the nose stuck out on one side and the tail on the other side. And Aaron and Rachel, they had the general store in Lusk. General store sold everything from plungers to sour cream to screws, you know, electrical supplies. They did your taxes, you know, everything. Phone cards. Sorry?
Walmart.
It was the local version of Walmart.
Amazon.
It was the Amazon of the time, right. There was one general store, and Aaron had the general store. And one day he comes home. It was a very difficult day. He had a lot of people coming into the store to schmooze, not that many people that came in to buy things. People came in to use the bathroom, you know how it goes. One guy bought it, a guy too, you know, he's going to pay. I once asked someone, you know, I lent you money. He got very, very angry. He said, you never lent me money. And anyway, I paid back. I realized that the issue here is, how dare you say you're right and I'm wrong. It doesn't make a difference why, but I can't be wrong. Sometimes I contradict myself. So Lamai said, one day Aaron comes home to the general store and he sees Rachel's like a little as in a bad mood today. No. You know what I mean. Everything okay? Yeah. Something happened? No. angry at me? No! You know what I mean? One of those days. So, everyone's nodding their head. Okay. So she just realized that the chances of her getting a dress for Pesach is highly unlikely, given the budget. It does not appear to be in the budget. Doesn't appear to be in the budget. And she also says, you need a new kapata. You need a new, for Pesach. He goes, what? When I'm wearing a yarshin from my great-great-grandfather, she said, who yarshin from his great-great-grandfather? Kakabig Inyan goes back to Adam Rishon before the Chet Eitz Hadas, but still. So he says, fine, this is what bothers you. I am b'li neder, b'ez Hashem Yisbarach. I'm gonna save up money. Now she reminds him, in those days, you didn't go into a suit store and buy a suit or a dress store. You had to buy material. You had to go to a tailor who had to get the right measurement, and it would take him 3 months to finish. And sometimes you weren't the same measurements after he finished, if you understand. So it was like a lot of pressure, if you understand what I'm saying. But he said, no, he wants to make his wife happy, and he's going to do it. You want me to do it, I'm going to do it, and that's the way it's going to be. And Itaka started saving up money, and the big day came. He had to go to Vilna to buy the schoira. And he travels to Vilna. And there's a big commotion. What's the commotion? The first editions of the Vilna Shas were out. Now, Rachel and Aaron had a son, Aaron Leib, who was starting yeshiva. And they knew he was starting Bava Basra. Okay? And really, he gave him a Bava Basra Gemara already. The problem is, a goat ate up the first 30 blot. And the other pot was kind of, bind it together, rebind it together, yellow pages, cuddly pages. It was like this. It was an interesting Gemara. It was kind of very tapestry woven together, modern art. And he looks, and they're displaying this shas, and they're selling it a volume at a time. And there on a table being sold in Vilna is a brand new, sparkling, geschmacka Bava Basra Gemara. Price? Probably the same amount that it would cost him to purchase the material, both for his kapata and his wife's dress. And he made a decision. He bought the Gemara. Now he has to come home. And he comes home and he walks in and he tells his wife, I don't know if I did the right thing. I was overtaken by it, and here's our address and here's my kapat. And he puts it down on the table. Aaron Leib is going off to yeshiva. We don't have a red cent to give him. We don't even know how he's going to get there. He's going to have to walk for weeks and weeks. And his Rebbetzin burst into tears of joy and said, I'm on. I'm in, together. And they gave the kid the Gemara. And this kid, he turned out to be one of the greatest Hamidim of Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. He was the Rav of Yanipol, I think. And he was the father of Rabbi Avram Kalmanovitz, who had come to America and was instrumental, besides being the grandfather of Mir Rosh Hashiva, but he was extremely instrumental in saving the whole matzah of the yeshivas in Japan. He's the one that went to Washington. He was the trailblazer. If the Rosh Hashivas survived in China, Shanghai, and that was the Karen B'Avna, that rebuilt yeshivas for the future of Klal Yisrael, it was he who did it. So, was it buying that Gemara that we realize how the ripple effects of what we do, how it affects future generations? That is story number one. Now story number two, and you tell me if there's a contradiction. It's Simchas Torah in Zvil. And as the Rosh HaKol takes out the Sefer Torah and he's about to start the Hakafis, Rosh HaKol goes through a lot, and this is his honor. And he's about to dance around with the Sefer Torah, he's about to move in with it, he's about to dance around with the Sefer Torah. He is so excited. And all of a sudden, Reb Shlomka, the Rebbe, comes running in. He says a contingent of the Russian army is moving through town, and they're going to be stationed here for the next hour. There's about 100 to 150 Yiddish soldiers. We can get them a Yom Tov meal. Who knows, the ones that are being makban on kashrus are starving. Let's move in on it now. Let's go, there's no time. House to house, there's no time to organize, just get it to them. And the Rosh HaKol says, okay, but after the Yakafa, not after the Yakafa. He said, let me go around once with the Sefer Torah. He said, put the Sefer Torah down on the bima. And go. And go they did, and they were up the entire night, and all the soldiers had a Yom Tov Suda. And on the way back, he came in with one sack of potatoes that was left over. And the Rebbe took the sack of potatoes, and he danced around the bima with it. Moshe, MS, Moshe, MS, V'tayrasa, yeah, MS, Moshe, with the sack of potatoes. Now, so, what's the price that we pay? How chashiv is limit HaTorah? Is there a contradiction between these two stories? Anybody?
No.
Yosef? No. You see a contradiction?
No.
So why not? I mean, one is...
Because
go ahead.
No, when you put it down and you...
You're doing what the Torah wants.
Right.
Also, you see a contradiction? Moshe?
No.
No. Basically, I think it's a defining moment. Because yes, we're Moshe Nefesh ourselves for Torah. We should. We ought to. We have to. But you can't lose sight of the fact is why you're being Moshe Nefesh yourself for the Torah. Because the Torah is the Ritzayin Habayri. The Torah is the Rabbanu Shalom. The Baal HaTanya says it is the Kaviyachol Biatzma who's Mitzamsim himself to come down into this world. But again, if you're not learning for the sake of Hashem, then why are you learning? Yes, Mitach Shalom Shema Baal Shema, but there has to be an ultimate objective. So yes, we have to be Moshe and Halavai, we should all be on that Madrega to give up the dress and the Gepata for the Bava Basra Gemara. But when the Bava Basra Gemara says, put me down, beginning of a Basra talks about Tzedakah, and go feed the soldiers, then we have to remember why we're learning. So the Arachayim HaKadosh brings the Zayir. He says that, Arachayim HaKadosh brings the Zayir. He says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so the letters of the all came and put in a bid that we want to be the one that you create the world from us. And first came the letter Tav. Hashem said no. Tav is Mavis. It says, the Gemara says, Masechta Shabbos, all the people that were marked not to survive, a Tav was put on their head. No, no. And then came the letters Shin, Kuf, and Reish. No, that's Sheker. And it went all the way back until the Beis. Beis, Hashem said, you got it. I'm creating the world with you. Bereshis bara elaikim. And then Hashem turns to the Aleph. Says, Aleph, you're not complaining? And the Aleph says, look, I saw you going backwards from Tav to Aleph. So I said to myself, I don't know how much of a chance I have. And then it was getting closer and 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 closer. And the Zohar goes on to say, well, each letter wasn't going to be the one. And your mama's up to the Beis. One more and I got it. And the Beis gets it. Ain't that upset? No. It wasn't meant to me. And the fact that it went all the way to Beis, it's like you drive down a block and there's no parking. It's frustrating. You drive down a block and you see a parking space. And you're waiting 20 minutes to make a U-turn. And you finally make the U-turn and someone comes down, whoop, and goes into the spot. You took my spot! No, he didn't. That's not your spot. Berea ba'al makan, you don't have a chazak on the spot. I'm not saying if you were backing into a spot and someone shot ahead, kfar hoya le'alamim, we have such tzaddikim. But really, if I'm coming down a block, is that a taina that ever happened to you? You pull into a spot and the guy says, I was waiting for that spot across the street. And you make a U-turn. Should you move away? What do you think? You think you should move away? Henry, what do you say? No? You think a spot is the guy that took it? If you pulled into a spot and a guy pulled up and said, I'm waiting 10 minutes to make a U-turn and to hang on a second, Moshe will soon get up to you. Moshe comes with a big truck, so it's a whole different story. So what would you say, Henry? Tell me. You pull into a spot and a guy comes around to you and says, I was waiting 10 minutes to make a U-turn to get into that spot. He doesn't have a legitimate claim, but would you give him the spot?
The U-turn legal.
Now let's say it was a legal U-turn. Let's say it was a legal Yidden.
One time.
But he could only make it. It's only legal when there are no cars coming.
No, sometimes, once happened to me, the guy gave me his pass. If you did the seat in someone's yard, okay, he gave it to me. But I'm saying...
But you came with a big truck, and this guy's in a little smart car. It's my spot. Okay, he gave it to you.
No.
I understand he gave it to you, right?
No, I'm saying what I'm going to do is depends what I am. If I'm the guy that got it...
With the plow on it, right.
If I'm the guy making a U-turn, the guy has to move for me. If I'm the guy that parked, I'm sorry, I'll do it before.
The point is that if someone's really a maimon, it doesn't make a difference if there are no spots or someone just grabs a spot. It wasn't meant for me to have a spot. So the Aleph said, okay, it got up to base, but it wasn't meant for me to have it. So mine after community.
They could be happy. They didn't kick him out. They kicked the other one out.
Right. Whatever you say.
No.
Kick who out? What are you talking about?
He pushed everybody away.
Oh, no.
Aleph, he never pushed. He never came to anybody. Never pushed. He pushed everybody.
Yeah, but he was almost up to the Aleph.
He didn't push him away. The other one.
No, but it's like, you know, it's you. You're the winner. You're not. The guy before you gets it. You know, it's a certain. So the Aleph had no problem with it. The Aleph said it wasn't meant for me to have it. I'm sorry, it wasn't meant for me to have it. So what did Hashem say to the Aleph? Anochi Hashem Elokecha starts with you. If you could stand up to the ultimate frustration, almost had the shidduch, almost bought the house, almost.
Almost
doesn't count. So it wasn't meant for me. That's all. What's the difference? It's almost and not almost. Then you're a Noichi Hashem Alekach. Then the Kadosh Baruch Hu says that the Torah is yours. So it's brought down. So why Taka didn't Hashem create the world with the Aleph? Because the light of the Aleph was so powerful that this world couldn't have taken it. It would have been a Shoiver as a Kalim, would have broken the Kalim. But once the Aleph knew how to be Machniya itself, then Hashem could create the Torah with the Aleph. If I'm extremely powerful, I can't put you into a situation, right? I don't know how to use the mashal, but if someone is a powerful disciplinarian, the world is scared of him. I have a guy, he's Goliath, you know? 10 feet tall, 10 feet wide. He walks in with a machine gun, people run in all different directions. I send him to the border to fight off terrorists, that's great. But I'm not going to put him into a third grade class because he'll control the kids. We don't want that kind of control. Why? What's wrong? I'll for sure have good control. The other rabbi was sent out because he didn't have control. The Aleph was too powerful. But if that person has the power to be Machniya himself, despite his 6 foot tall, 6 foot wide, I sit down and say, okay, Kindalach, let's learn. And maybe his demeanor or his posture is going to put them in place a little bit. So once the Aleph, so a lot of what we have is because we're overqualified. Hashem says, I can't let you have that. But once you show you're ready to be machni yourself, you're ready to yield, so I can trust you. So go ahead. So it's all yours. So Parshas Nasa, we know, is the longest Parsha, right? How many psukim does Parshas Nasa have, anybody?
Kufayin
and Vav, right. 176, correct. And the longest kapitel in Tehillim has, Kuf Yotes has 176 psukim. And Bava Basra has 176 dafim. Even though who made Bava Basra? Who made the dafim? The printers, right? Well, I said Sashgacha Pratis. We see it's Sashgacha Pratis. People say Ramazim on the daf. Siddach Sam Sofer says it's the longest Pasha after Shuas because Hashem says, okay, you were Makabal upon yourself the old Torah on Shuas. Let's see. Someone said to me, how did your Shuas go? I said, I don't know. We'll find out. You wonder if I was Makabal the Torah? Well, you know, call me in a month from now. I'll let you know. Well, what does the old Torah mean? The old Torah means that I accept what's on my plate. There's that old story, you know, as old as the hills. That this person comes to a therapist, he says Shalom Bayis is not good in his house. It's mamish the pressure, so he says, I don't know, I come home, I vent it when I get home. So the doctor says, I want you to run every single day for 5 miles. You'll vent yourself that way. And call me in a month. He calls in after a month. He says, how's your Shalom Bayis? He says, great, but I'm 150 miles away from home. What happens when I get back? What's going to be then? So the Shalom Bayis has to be at home. You have to eat what's in your plate. So Rav Rosenblum, the Rashiva Shai Yosher, I once heard a Shia from him. He said, you have to be a Rebbe to appreciate this. Okay, in a classroom, you meet all different kinds of kids. And there's going to be this one kid that's like, when another kid asks a question, this kid will roll his eyes. Why am I in this class? I am a Mitzuyan. I have to listen to this. This Rebbe's repeating it already. He said it already 5 times. So what kids do is, they'll take a Gemara, and the Maishik, can I trouble you for a Gemara? I have to illustrate this. Anyone, any Gemara. Any Gemara. It's okay, don't have to run. Relax, take it easy. We'll play some music in between. Skayach Maishik. So some kids in class, this is what they'll do. Okay? You have to appreciate the Rebbe. They're like, they'll roll their eyes at the shiur. So they're like, and you're talking, and he goes, looking up, you know. Like, forget, I'm finished with you. He's checking out the Mashah, and the Rashash, and the thing, you know, and the Ran, and the Riff, like, you know what? Like, I'm way past what you're saying. Are you saying the Rashi again? Okay. They're like Mishpei. Yeah. So he says like this. Why is a kid mishing pages? Because he's so bored. Think when he comes home by supper and his father comes home and he has his Geshmak Lashon Hara, this Rebbe said that and that Rebbe said this, there's a Machloikas. Does he run to get a Gemara and start mishing pages? Mm-hmm. No, then he's like, listens every single word, right? So he said a good vart, Rav Lozenblum. He said, you really have to mish the pages. He could look at the Rebbeinu Chananel, at the Tosis Yishonim, on the... There's enough to look at. Why does he have to miss the pages? Because the problem is, if all he's looking at is at the Rebbeinu Chananel, no one's going to see. He's not making a statement. He needs to make a statement. Yeah, you know, I'm finished with you. Right? So what? Why is he learning? So the Rebbeinu Chananel says, okay, we got to redo your home mahalach about what you're learning. The ultimate bracha is when a person says, hey, I'm in this classroom, I'm going to make it work. So the Chazoy Nish said to one of the Panovich Rosh Hashivas that, you know, he thinks it would be a good idea in Panovich if the older Bachram learn with the younger Bachram. So he said, the older Bachram, you know, the Shir, they have to work with it. There's no time for it. So the Chazoy Nish said that they have time to say Baruch Shammah. They have to do the Shir. It all depends where we're going. So really, what is the bulk of Parshas Nasai? We go through the whole human experience. All the Levium had to be assigned to their jobs. They were or were not happy with it, but you were assigned to what they had to carry. And they were under a lot of pressure. If they touched the Aron, right, they were in trouble. And then you have Gezel Ager, and you have Saita and Nazir, Birchas Kaihanim. And then one of the reasons that Nasa is the longest parasha is because you have the 12 Nasiim. All 12 Nasiim came on day number one. And not some Nasiim could afford different karbanas, you know. You walk into the Beis HaMedrash, and there's a big sign. So-and-so donated the building. Big, big sign. A lot of people in the fundraising things said, I remember someone was taking down a huge apartment house, building up a yeshiva. Why don't you just do over the apartment house? It's much easier to raise money. So-and-so built this name, this gvir. Somebody said, what's the difference between a Hungarian and a Polish, right? He says, Hungarian wants his name on a building, the Polish wants a building on his name, but either way. So all the Nasiim get together, and the Nasiim say, we're not going to try to outdo each other. Wow, look at Nachshon ben Aminadav's carbon. And they all decided to be uniform, and to bring the same carbon, because they want the Mishkan to start with a level playing field. It got to be the same. I remember I was in third grade and my Rebbe brought in a tape recorder. You know, the tape recorder was like in my days, I'm going to give away my age. But it was a big reel to reel thing. You remember that? You remember that? Oh, wow.
I have a bunch of fun.
I think we should start selling retirement policies.
Someone gave me a reel to reel to transfer it onto a.
Really? It was a big reel to reel.
Used it to record the Rav Huttner's at the top
here. And you had, and you pulled the...
Patiphone.
Oh, no, not that old. No. But, I mean, the Brooklyn Bridge was standing around. Anyway, the way this thing worked, this, I do remember, you had these reels with a tape in it, yeah, and there was an empty reel.
Some of them had a microphone attached to it.
Oh, that I remember. There was an empty reel and a regular reel. And then you had to feed the tape through a whole little thing, and then you had to feed it into the next empty wheel. And as they turned, am I going in the right direction? Yeah. As they turned, you know, one would get empty, and the other one would fill up. And then when you're finished, you have to rewind it, and you have to. And if you didn't connect it properly, Yes. Then one was turning and the other was not, and this tape was all over the house, down the block, and across the river. So my Rebbe brought in this tape recorder, and he, I remember we were all singing. It was very exciting to hear your own voice. And I remember one of us, I'm not going to say who, was trying to like, Eilecha, you know, because we wanted to hear his voice. I remember Rebbe saying, when you do that, you think you're going to stand out. But you're not standing out, you're standing under. He said, you want to be who you are, fit into place. Fit into place. So we all crave identity, that's the truth. And we all have a separate identity. Each and every one of us has something to accomplish on this world that nobody else in the world can. But acknowledging, if I don't do it, nobody else in the world can do it. And trust me, if you are here and you exist as a human being, there's an accomplishment for you that nobody else in the world can. Hashem Kadosh Baruch Hu does not make spare tires. But by the same token, Kishani La'atzmi Moni, my purpose isn't to stand out. My purpose isn't to have my name. Everyone will go, ooh and ah. The purpose is what? The purpose is, so what is my role? Yes, I have an identity. If I don't do it, no one else is going to do it. But what is my role? And in order to not to lose track of that, so the Nesi'im had to do what they did. They had to all get together and say, we're not going to try to outdo each other. And the Rabban Hashem says, you're going to read this on Chanukah, right? And we're going to read this on Sukkot, the 12 Nesi'im. And many people have the minig that we read it on the Shivas Yimei HaMaluyim. It's good for the Bal Kaira. Easy to prepare. Karbana, hi, Karas Kasevacha. The first time of the Nisan. That's more minig, but whatever. Some people do. There's no other Kriya Satayra that is read three times a year, to my knowledge. Is there? I don't think so. I mean, you could read Shmini eight times, depending on how many Monday or Thursdays there are. But I'll a separate time. Because here is the Nakud. The Nakud is what? The Nakud is A, to be Mosa Nefesh yourself to buy the Bava Basra Gemara, and B, to put it down, to run for the potatoes, if that's what Hashem says you should do. So, I wrote this down. I'm going to knock the microphone out. Here. Rabbi Sai, for a mere 85 million, that's all. Anyone here? I know a good loan broker. You can get a condo in Manhattan, West 42nd Street. It's a duplex. 10 bedrooms. Good luck being by the comments. Along with it comes 2 Rolls Royces, a private cook, okay, drivers, chauffeurs, and you get a mansion in the Hamptons to go away in the summer, and you get a trip to space. And they're going to have commercial things. Oh, that's the exciting part, right? One-way ticket, trip to space. They don't guarantee you're going to come back, but they send you a trip to space. So I have 2 kashas. If I spent $85 million on a condo, which I wouldn't, but if I did, why am I running off in the summer to some mansion in the Hamptons? And if I spent $85 million on a condo, I'm not going out of space. So it's almost like they're telling you to start with, this is the ultimate amount of money you could spend to try to show off, but you're going to get bored. I'm telling you right now, in the summer, you're going to want to get out. So why am I buying it? But that's human nature, right? I'm doing it to show off. Then I'm wondering, this private cook and the chauffeur, they get to live in this $85 million for nothing. They even get paid for it, right? So if we view ourselves as a conduit for a Kaddish Baruch Hu's bracha, so you got to live here without paying for it. So the Kedusha Slavi says that's the ultimate job of the Kayan. Not to accept the bracha, but to be a conduit of bracha. Now, when you give something to someone, and when you're asking for something, your hand is like this. When you're giving, your hand is like this. So that's why the Kaihanim, well, you're not supposed to look at the Kaihanim, but who peeks? Right? You were a kid, did you peek? Who peeked under the talis, Mordechai? You're under your father's talis. You never peeked?
Never under my father's talis.
Oh, really? Because you're a Kaihan?
No.
No?
I don't have to go under the talis.
Just put your head over your thing.
Yeah.
Well, your father tried to get you under the talis, you just ran away, right?
No, my father was busy dominating.
Aha. Uh-huh. Oh, there we go. Rafael, you under your father's talis, did you ever peek? No. You never peeked. A bunch of tzaddikim here. Yosef?
When I was a kid, I used to look.
Well, that's great. He told you not to, or he dragged you? Get underneath this.
No, I never get.
Right. I just remember I had like six boys in a row underneath that talus. Boy, it sounded like a bris. You're crying, screaming, fighting, you know. By the time Brichas Kahanim was over, I was like, shoo. So anyway, so the Kedushas lady says that the Kahanim have their hands this way, well, their fingers, whatever. But why are they this way?
Not going to grow.
Okay, Anachanami. But the reason their hands are, the palms...
I know
about the girl,
you do it all
the time. Uh-huh. Ah, so the talus. Okay. But your hands are still facing the crowd.
They're facing,
but they're like this.
Without
the talus
being covered? They're 2 and 2.
Right, but the hands are not like this. The hands are like this.
No,
because the ultimate bracha, Rabbi Isai, the ultimate bracha is to be a conduit of bracha. In other words, I'm not saying, Hashem, give me, why should I give you? No, give me so I could give. If there's going to be bracha, I want it to come through me to someone else. That's what I want. That's what I'm asking you. So think about this. It's like this: the guy that's in this mansion cooking, and the guy that's in the mansion, he gets the mansion, he even gets paid for it. And he doesn't have the liability. And no one can sue him, because he's just working there. So if we say to Hashem, if I view all the money I have, like this person cooking in this mansion, Hashem, I'm there. I'm there for Achmasa. So whatever your Indian is. But if you say, I'm taking my wealth and I want to be Mamshachet as a bracha to Klal Yisrael, so you're working for Hashem. So you're a conduit of bracha. So it doesn't cost you $85 million. You don't have the liability, and you're there. And you're not in such a rush to get off to the Hamptons. So imagine we took all whatever bracha we have in our life and we viewed it this way. That I'm here to help somebody else with it. So, and you say to Hashem, you know, I want to raise children. Give me the menuchas and nefesh. Give me the peace of mind. It's very hard to sit by Shabbos people and be happy if something is going on in your life and you don't know how to fix it and you can't correct it and you want to do what you're supposed to do with it. So listen to this story. I saw it in the Ner Haftorah from Rabbi Beryl Engelberg. Beautiful, beautiful thing on the Haftorah. It comes out every week. So somebody once came to Rabbi Moshe David of Charkiv, who was the Rishna's son. And Nebuch, he had his children passed away very early, Rachman al-Atzlan. Children passed away very early. So he told him that the next child that should be born should give him a name for the on the Parsha. Someone's name on the Parsha, a name from that Parsha. So of course, he had, so you know the story, right? Parsha's Mishpatim, right? The guy comes, I had a girl, what should I do? What's her name? If it was a boy, I can name him, you know, Shar Nachan. A girl, what am I going to do? So the Rav said, a girl in Pashas Mishpatim, Machsheifa. He said he can't, his shviger's still alive. No, that's the story. That's not a real story, but this is a real story. This person came to the Charkova and he said, I had a girl, Pashas Nasai. What am I supposed to name my child? Nazir? Soita? Like, what am I supposed to name her? What do I do? So he told her, nope. If there's no name in the parsha, then you could name from the Haftarah. The Navi, the Haftarah. This week's parsha, the Haftarah. The Malach appears before the wife of Menoyach. And he tells her, you're going to have a son, and she's going to be a Nazir his whole life, and he warns her how she has to raise her level of Kedusha, and she runs back, and she tells her husband what happened. Husband says, who is he? What's his name? I don't know, you ask him. Like, you know, tell him to come back. Then she comes again, and he davens that he should come back, and she says, the Malach is calling me, and she goes running, and Menoyach is following her, and the Gemara says, Menoyach ha-Me'aretzoy, because he went after his wife, even though the Rizal says he was a Gilgal of Yitzchak, so we'll try to maybe, we have some time to sort that out a little bit. And Lemaisa, you know, the Malach says you're going to have a child that's going to save Klal Yisrael. His name is going to be Shemshin, and he's going to be a Nazir. He says Mikol Asher, and he tells the husband. The Malach says to the husband, Mikol Asher Amarti Ali Isha Tishomer. Beautiful Meshech Chachma. He says, you know, how do I get this kid to be so holy? So the Malach said, you be holy, the kid will be holy. So he'll emulate you. Don't teach him. Don't lecture him. Just do it. Lead by example. The Malach soars up. Menoyach thinks we're going to die, and she says we're going to die. No, why would Hashem show us to die? And Shimshin is born. Okay? Now, it doesn't say in the Pasuk what her name is. But the Gemara says what her name is. so he could name after the wife of Manoach. You know what her name was? What was Manoach's wife's name, Shimshon's mother? Anyone? Tzalfonis. So your baby's name could be Tzalfonis. Okay. Rabbi Yaakov didn't let give names that the kids would be embarrassed from. He held that that's a big avon. But again, this was Sekhanas Nefashas. So Maisa Shahaya, that the tzaddik Rabbi Yaakov of Shavaros says Torah, and all of a sudden he like blanks out. He doesn't remember the Torah he prepared. So he remembers this story from the chart of a rabbi, and he says the story. And right there and then, they come running in by the tish, and they say a kala collapsed, and she's in grave danger. And the Rabbanim said to add a name. What name should we add? And he said, Tzalfonis. If I were in the middle of saying this story from the Chartkova, and they added the name Tzalfonis, and she had a refuah shalem. Now, I'm not saying you should give your daughter a name Tzalfonis.
Well, that's a nice name.
You like it, Maisha?
No, it's different
okay.
than everybody else.
Just make sure everyone else agrees with you, right? Poor kid.
I need my wife to agree.
Right. Think about when your daughter will be 18 years old, if she'll agree.
No way, I'm not stupid.
I never accused you. So many say, the pshat is a look. What is the key in this week's, in the parsha? Manoach thinks he's going to die. I can't take the malach. I can't take the image of a malach. And she says, God is not putting through this experience for us to die. If we're going through fear, it's to live. And that's her kayach. Her kayach is the kayach of living. Her kayach is the kayach of fear. To make it work. That's it. You may be going through a hard time in your life. The Rabbi Hashem says, make it work. Be a conduit of bracha. God, give me $85 million. I want that condo. Why do you need a condo for? But say to Rabbi Hashem, I want to work in such a condo. I want to work in a yeshiva. I want to work in a maisa. I want to work in my home. I want my home to be a bastion of ahav and year. I want to work for you. I always tell Rebbeim there in Chinuch. It always worked for me. Really did. I'm going to class and saying, Hashem, listen, I got a lot on my mind. You know, you want me to deal with these kids. I need some level of menuchas and nefesh. And you're the only one that can give it to me. You're the only one that can give it to me. Reb Meir el Promishlan was used to give out brachas on Erev Hashashan. So the town ganef came around. Town ganef wanted a brachas. I'll give you a bracha that you should be a ganef. How should I do that? He says, look, certain people, it's bashed for them. They're going to have their house broken into. Give me a bracha. I should be the one to do the breaking in. So Reb Meir el had a daughter. Reb Meir el's daughter said, you know, I have an idea. Certain people are going to be benched. Father, give me a bracha. I should be the one to bench them. And she was zechut to Arichas Yom. People came from all over for her brachas. Even the town where she's buried, the Nazis somehow didn't reach it. It's a very interesting story. Story that goes on its own. So I want to conclude with this. Okay? This is our closing story. There's a little boy, Meirka. And the mother says to him the day after his father's shiva, Rachmana Litzlan, Meirka, it's going to be a different kind of a life now. And Meirka hugs his mother and says, I know, mommy. Don't worry, we're going to do our best. I'm really going to be a good boy in Cheder. And the mother wipes a tear from her eye and swallows very hard and says, Meirka, you can't go back to Cheder. My Rebbe said I can't go back to Cheder? Chas v'shalom. Who's going to support the family? I'm 12 years old. How can I support the family? You know, Zalman, he's the big Rosh HaKol. He has a big mill. Man, I'm too small to grind the mill. No. But you're going to stand in the front, by the front desk, and help him sell his flour. And you'll get 12 kopecks a week. Otherwise, we're going to starve. And Meirka bursts into tears. Can't go to Cheder? And the mother bursts into tears. And he realizes there's no point in arguing. And he shows up, and Zalman tells him, okay, you're going to be getting 7 kopecks a week. 7! My mother said 12! Hey, listen, even the 7 is tzedakah, okay? He very politely says to the kid. So the kid asks a good question. If it's tzedakah, let me go to Cheder and give me the tzedakah. Didn't have a good answer. And he is Nebuch working his kishkas out. And the Rebbe comes running to the mother and says, Where's Meirka? I want him back in Cheder. And the mother cries, and who's going to give us the 7 kopecks? That we need to put a piece of bread on the table. The Rebbe would have given it if he had, but he barely had the 7 kopecks for his own family. And then it comes Erev Shavuos. Zalman's the big Rosh HaKol. His name is in lights all over the place. And he says to the kid, listen, Erev Shuas, the mills aren't working, but a lot of people are buying flour. You stay here. In case people come the last minute. He goes, but I want to go to Kabrin with my Rebbe. He said, Kabrin was one of the slonim of Rebbe. It was a slonim of town. My Rebbe said he's going to take me for Yom Tov. My mother said I can go. Hey, you're going to stay here Erev Shuas. If you're lucky, you can catch the last wagon out. Out of the goodness of my heart, I'll let you go home an hour before him. And he warns him. He says, this is grade A, grade B, and this is Zemel flour. Zemel flour is the best flour. Make sure you sell it for the right price. And they're driving him nuts the entire day. Customers back and forth, buying, returning, this flour, that flour. And he's looking at the clock, looking at the clock. Finally, one person comes in. How much is the Zemel flour? 3 ruble. Oh, I don't have that kind of money. His mother comes running and says, you're going to miss the wagon. He goes, Mommy, do you have anything to eat? Don't worry about me. You can still bake a challah. Not without flour, I can't. You can make a cheese mousse. Not without flour, I can't. Just go. And Meirka does something. The Zemel bag is left. He's not going to be able to sell it after Yom Tov. He takes it and plays with it and puts it in his pocket. And he comes to his mother and says, here. He let you have it? Yeah. And she takes it. And he comes along, and he's there by the Rebbe. The Rebbe's about to read the Aseres HaDibros, and everyone is standing. And all of a sudden the Rebbe goes, where's Meirka? I want Meirka to stand next to me! I want Meirka to stand next to me! And Meirka doesn't know why the Rebbe wants him to stand next to me, and the Rebbe starts the Aseres HaDibros. And the place is shivering. And he's going through the Aseres HaDibros. Lies enough. When he gets to the words, thou shalt not steal, Meirka bursts into such a cry. He bursts into such tears, shakes the foundations of heaven and earth. And the entire shul is crying. And after the Aseres HaDibros, now the Rebbe takes Meirka off to the side, gives him a kiss on his forehead. He says, don't worry. Don't worry about it. And a few minutes later, the Rebbe goes into his room and he comes out and he goes, thy woe was to us! Everyone stands up, he goes, when Meirka stood here and cried by those words, Loi Signaiv, the heavens opened up, the Malachim and Shemayim were crying. And every single person in this Beis Medrash was crying. And we have the geula in our hands by a hairbreadth. Except one person wasn't crying. Zalman was saying, oh, he's crying by Loi Signaiv. That must mean he stole from me, that little rascal. Wait till I get my hands on him. But the Rebbe didn't say who. The Rebbe said, one person didn't cry! And the geula is lost. Everyone runs to the Rebbe to ask Mechila. They were scared. Maybe they were the ones that didn't cry. There was one person left, Zalman. Big famous Zalman walks in. And they hear someone faint inside the room. The Rebbe lets Zalman know he's the one that didn't cry. To make a long story short, Meirka is called in. And Zalman, in a small little attempt at doing Tshuva, a consolation prize, he promises that Meirka can go back to Cheder and he'll produce the 12 kopek a week. But the geula is so close because Baruch Hu is waiting for our tear. A tear where at one moment we don't think, ooh, who's trying to take advantage of me? Instead we turn around and take the sack of potatoes and run out to the soldiers.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.